I will sing praise unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Father, even as we continue our meditation in this sacred place, we realize how easy it is for us to offer our words instead of worship and to substitute our posture for praise and prayer. In our most aware moments, perhaps even now, we would not have it so. We yearn to know thee better and to have fuller understandings of what our acknowledging you as God and Father can mean in our lives daily. Forgive us when we pray without knowing what we need or how we pray. Forgive us for the times when haste and pride and fear and convention keep us from offering ourselves as we ought and as we really want to. Teach us of thyself, O God, and let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, even now as we pray. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who revealed thyself to us. Amen. Last week, during a routine daily visit to see the new child care building, I chanced to speak a spontaneous word of appreciation to two of the men most responsible to the building. Their response was a mixture of emotions, of surprise, of wonder, somewhat of gladness. Finally, one of them managed to reply. He said, "You know, I've built lots of buildings. I've built lots of big buildings. But it's been a long time since anyone has thanked me for what I've done." It was my time to be stunned. In this setting of Christian fellowship, it seems not unusual for words of encouragement and sympathy and comfort to be passed from one to another. We particularly cherish the Christian fellowship of understanding and sympathy and encouragement and comfort. Questions raced through my mind as I stood with those workmen. Had they not, too, been with persons who were Christians in all of this experience of building? What had happened? Why had recognition of their worth and work been denied or ignored? Or, the cold thought struck me, deliberately withheld? The more I've pondered on the encounter, the more I have wondered if Christians did not have a rather unique opportunity to reveal the love and mercy and compassion of God in the giving of encouragement. Many years ago, there walked on this Wake Forest College campus, a little jolly fat man. He became famous in his lifetime for many things. I understand that he was a much wanted teller of the Uncle Remus tales, and that also one day in a time of inspiration, he cut the word failure out of his dictionary. I know that he was largely responsible in organizing Ridgecrest and in establishing Mills Home. I know, too, that he endowed the Wake Forest College Library generously in the area of philosophy. B.W. Spillman was probably a friend of some of your family and friends. Perhaps you yourself may have known him. I was a Midwesterner and did not hear of him until I came this way. And I think of him now, not for any of these famous things, but for what he wrote and for what I received in a little piece of blue paper some 10 years ago. It is browned and scarred and thumbtacked now. It's a very simple kind of writing, so simple that one wonders about its being effective. I have a feeling that Dr. Spillman could write this, not because he chose to do a good deed every day, but because he himself had experienced love and mercy and compassion. The paragraphs are entitled, Say It. You have a friend, a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. For some reason, you love him very much. Have you ever told him so? Perhaps he would like to have you say it. Your friend has helped you along the way in the days gone by. Gratitude is in your heart. Do not let it lie buried there. Say it. Some joy comes his way. You rejoice with him. But he will never know it unless you say it. An honor comes to him. He wins in the game of life, and you are glad. Say it. Your friend succeeds in some task which he has undertaken. You feel a grateful pride that he has done it. Say it. A sorrow comes his way. He may have lost his property. Some of his loved ones may have gone wrong. Disease may have laid its hand upon him, taking away the glow of health. You would share the sorrow with him. Say it. Old age, or perhaps a breakdown in the human machinery, may shut in your friend so that he can no longer fare forth among his fellows. Perhaps the end draws near. In your heart, you wish him bon voyage as he nears the sunset gate. A word of kindly sympathy would brighten the way. Say it. The messenger of death may have knocked at his door and borne away into the unseen world some loved one. A word of sympathy would help to lighten the load and brighten the way. Say it. A personal word, a telephone call, a postcard, a letter, a telegram, and only a few minutes of time. Silent sympathy. Your own life may be better because of it, but your friend may go to the end of the journey and never know. You may add to the joy, you may lighten the load, you may brighten the way if you only take time to say. Let us pray as Mr. McClellan leads us. We pray for this to be so, God, in the name of him who taught us to call thee Father.